Okay, if you would please, open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 25. Genesis 25. I would like to continue on looking at a series that I recently started here on a recent Wednesday night, and that is to look at the life and times of Jacob. Get this other mic on. The life and times of Jacob will be our study. Genesis chapter 25 would begin this section, and this would be part two of our series. Looking back at chapter 25 just briefly to remind ourselves of the flow of this passage. And in doing so, we think of the patriarchs. We think about going back to Abraham at the end of Genesis 11, the call of a man named Abram. From the end of Genesis 11 all the way to the end of Genesis in chapter 50, we're reminded of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and yet as well with the key character of Joseph. And so these four patriarchs, as it were, these four men entail much and most of the chapters of the book of Genesis. And so beginning there with the promises of God that was made through connection with Abraham, leading all the way up to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, we see the great historical account of these men. Looking at the man Jacob, we see the early life of Jacob. We find a man who his name means a trickster, a supplanter. So in the early years, we work through a man who is a trickster, a deceiver. Then we see in his middle years, you might say, in middle story of his life, we see a man who is reaping. He's reaping from his early behavior. And then in his latter years, we see a man who is a worshiper. A man is leaning upon his staff and he's a-dying and worshiping God, as you see him in Hebrews 11. So when we think of a man like Jacob, it can be so reflective upon perhaps our own lives, of how we look back and see where we were when we were early on as an unsaved person, and how we're on that broad road to destruction, and how yet the Lord dealt with us. We may have learned life's hard lessons along the way, having reaped what we sowed. But if we've come to know Christ as our Savior, then we see the blessings of knowing Him. And now we can be a worshiper of God.
Amen.
And so we look at this man in chapter 25. Well, of course, there's the link between Abraham and Jacob, being his father, of course, Isaac, the promised child. The one that for so many years Abraham and Sarah had to wait for. And yet when the promised child came, then there was a matter of waiting for him to have a wife that the promise may be able to continue. Because you see, these promises given to Abraham would go all the way to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, one day. So they waited. And then we see how they had to wait in turn for several years until they had a son. And so in our last study, we looked in chapter 25 at how after they waited, Isaac and Rebekah did, for like, I think 20 years, they had twins. They had Jacob and Esau. And there we see, of course, the well-known story of this one. Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. He had been said earlier in the middle of chapter 25, in a sense of prophetic words, that two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. And so we find this one Esau cooperating, as it were, in the selling of this birthright. You know, he was looking at what was momentary. You know, he wanted something to eat, as if he was really going to die missing one meal. But no, this one Jacob, the trickster, cooperated on his end as well. So we fast forward now, please, today to chapter 27. Chapter 26 deals with Isaac in a place of Abimelech and a story along the line there of some of his faults in dealing with that situation. But we're going to move to the story of Jacob, particularly chapter 27. And in this chapter, we see the first four verses, Isaac has a plan to bless. We find then, beginning verse 5 to 17, Rebekah, along with Jacob, they have a plan. Verse 18 to 29, we see, well, the plan's carried out. Verse 30 to 40, we see Isaac and Esau. They discover this plan, much to their chagrin. And in verse 41 to 46, we see the results of this plan. So we're going to look at what was planned here by Rebekah and Jacob and how it has long-lasting effects. Back in chapter 25, verse 28, we see each parent with their favorite pitted against each other. 25:28 tells us, at the birth of Esau and Jacob, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So we briefly, in the last message, talked a little bit about how situations such as this, any of us that have children, have grandchildren, you know, it's one thing to realize I may have more in common with this child or that child, you know, may, you know, have like mind in hobbies or strong points that we have in our lives. But it's another thing to have favorites and to treat certain children in a different way, in a sense of, you know, displaying love to one more than the other. This can cause long-term problems. And so we come to this story, and we find here is Isaac, who's deceived. Esau, who's deceived and going to be quite angry. We see Rebekah willing to deceive, as well as Jacob. And yet, later, will there be regret? So we find here a blessing is at stake here in chapter 27. When you see blessings in the Old Testament, a lot of times you see a sense of like a prophecy, something being spelled out, looking forward, something that has a bit of inspiration to it, that something that would not necessarily ever change. There's a sense of a vow before the impress. It's like this is something we're laying out, and it's not going to change. So we can look back, we can see things that was said to Abraham and different situations with the patriarchs. Look fast forward a little bit, we see things that God would say to Jacob. And of course, later on, we see Jacob speaking in chapter 49 to his 12 sons. So here we find Isaac appears to be maybe one of the early ones that actually would give a blessing here in the book of Genesis. We notice in the first four verses, Isaac's eyes are dim. You know, perhaps this is reflective to more than just physical. We can think of perhaps his discernment isn't where it needs to be. Let's think about that we need to be men and women of God that have clear discernment upon the will of God, based on the Word of God, and being close to the Lord in prayer. So here we see Isaac, it says his eyes are dim. Of course, he favored the one who is called profane, Esau. If we were to begin our reading, and perhaps I'll just turn there briefly over in Hebrews 11, it says this in the chapter of faith, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. But in the next chapter, as we considered in our first study, it says this about Esau. Hebrews 12:16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward he would have inherited the blessing. He was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Jacob and Esau. So we find before us this mention of blessing. Let's read verse 1 to 4. It came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now, therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow. Go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. So we notice here, opportunity to bless Esau. And now here we are, just recent weeks, deer season started. I know Pink and Bruce, some of us are excited about that. Time for the venison. But here's this man. He has his favorite. Here's Esau, the eldest. But as we read back in 25, the words had been said that the elder shall serve the younger. There's already a record of that. So when we think of this, here's this one Isaac, his eyes are dim, but let's think about it. He's going to live till chapter 35, 180 years old. So here, he's over 100. At the end of chapter 26, it gives us an indication of that. It speaks about Esau being 40 years old when he took a wife. It talks back in 25 that Isaac was 60 when the twins were born. So quick math, he's over 100 years old now. And so he's still got some years to live, but he's already dim of eye. Again, let's remember the spiritual application. We don't want to be dim of eye when it comes to spiritual discernment. What's God's will in our lives? So we pick up verse 5. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. Thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. So we see the plan here, as we talked about a chapter about a plan. Rebekah would like to initiate this. Again, she has a favorite. It's Jacob. And so when we find this plan, they're going to attempt to carry it out. You know, we think back at Abraham and Sarah and how Sarah had such a plan. Go to Hagar. Have a son. And we see, of course, the fallout from that and the tension. And there's Isaac and Ishmael. But the promised child would not be Ishmael, but Isaac. It's interesting that as you study these patriarchs, the things that repeat between these men and women, the life's lessons, you know, at times we can look back and we learn things from our parents or our grandparents, and when we're talking to our children or our grandchildren, and we say things like, and they might get tired of hearing it. We probably were the same way. You know, well, you know, this is something I learned. This is something I experienced. And please don't make the same mistake as I did. Just like we kind of move past chapter 26, we think about here that situation. You see what happened with Abraham, and then it would happen in Isaac's life about lying about who his wife was and trying to get around something. He didn't learn from Abraham's mistake, did he? So as we think about these situations, Isaac and Rebekah, as you look at their life, even though Isaac is a wonderful picture of Christ, is back in chapter 24 when Abraham sent that unnamed servant to bring back a bride for the master's son. What a great picture of the gospel. Rebekah, her name means captivating. She's a picture of Christ, is the bride of Christ. That's a wonderful story. But notwithstanding that, when we start looking at the practical things in their lives, we see here not only playing favorites, but the spiritual dullness and then the willingness to participate in deception. So what can we sow before our children and our grandchildren? Well, as we think of these things, we press on. We pick up now in verse 13. Regret will come in, of course, in times to come. We've all had that, things that we've looked back upon. But thanks be to God that the Lord is merciful. And as we see that displayed in the life of this man, as we work through this study in this series, we're going to see how merciful God is. He's going to be very merciful. This man, Jacob, is going to have the hollow of his thigh touched. He's going to have the remembrance of that situation, but he's going to be a worshiper of God. He'll be restored to this man he saw one day to a certain degree, but yet now we see he's laying out the groundwork. He's sowing these things of deception. Verse 13, and his mother said unto him, upon me, by thy curse, my son, only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau that were with him in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came, verse 18, unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Think of this, I am Esau. Fast forward the story. And we move over to chapter 32, and you'll see that time whenever Jacob is wrestling with that man through the night. And we think about how it's the Lord dealing with him. And at that point, he must confess his name. He's not going to lie about it this time. He's going to say, I'm Jacob. I'm a deceiver. He wouldn't be blessed of God until he confessed his sin. I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Isn't that something? That we can put ourselves in such a position that we can try to attach the Lord's name to our deception. Not just pointing fingers at others, so we can do it ourselves. Have there been times that perhaps you were trying to deal with a situation and maybe you wrote a letter or wrote a text to someone and, you know, really you were trying to work through it in your mind before the Lord and you made it sound kind of spiritual, but really there's things you needed to deal with, something I needed to deal with before the Lord and not really try to make it sound like it was okay. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may fill thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy in his brother Esau's hand, as his brother Esau's hand. So he blessed him. Now, we, in one sense, can give him benefit of the doubt. You know, it was set up in a way that it could deceive him. But yet he had hesitation. The voice didn't match. And so when it comes to the things of the Lord, we need to have clear, open-eyed discernment. I recently went through a series on 1 John, a series of tests, a wonderful book, a family letter, in a sense, as the Father is speaking to those he calls his little children or his beloved. And these tests, part of the test that you see there is, what is truth? What is sound doctrine in these things? And so we need to be those that have discernment, that have clear eyes about what's being said and done around us, that we're holding to the rightly divided word of truth. May it be so. We look around us in this, some would call a post-Christian society that we're in. Things are moving quickly in a not so good way. May we discern what's God's will through his word and be fervent to still be willing to share the good news of the gospel and to be willing to follow his word and to come together as the Lord's people. Here we see his discernment was not clear. And again, he's talking about physically feeling. But you know, there again, application, you can think about how we get not just physically, but like emotional and different things you can use the term feelings for. We have to be careful. God allows emotions and feelings. They can be a good thing, and such as that. They can be a helpful thing. But at the same time, when we let emotions and feelings, so to speak, dictate us and run our lives, then there's difficulties. Instead of it being a reaction to something, it becomes something that leads us, and we don't necessarily have the discernment we should if we can get off track. So may we allow the Lord to guide us and lead us and have discernment. So we pick up there, verse 24, and he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near him to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee." So we see what is said. Now, compared a little bit later, some of this is going to be similar, what is said to Esau, at least part of it. But think it, as you go all the way back to where this plan was starting to be carried out by Rebekah and Jacob, you know, the question could come to bear, like, why force something? Yeah, you know, what was said back in 25, you know, there from the time of their birth, two nations are in thy womb and so on, and the elder shall serve the younger. Things had already been said. That just makes me think about how a lot of times as men and women, perhaps we get ahead of things. Things that's already going to work itself out if we just allow the Lord to lead. And we try to force the matter. So now we find it's been done. The blessing's been given to Jacob. Verse 30, "And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet a scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also made him savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto him, 'Father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me.' And Isaac, his father, said unto him, 'Who art thou?'" There have been times in your life when it just kind of like ran into a wall. Like, oh no, what have I missed? Oh Lord, I should have been more patient or more discerning. "Who art thou?" And he said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled very exceeding and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed." It's done with. You see, there's this sense of keeping your word and things that are done before God. You know, I think of the Psalm, I believe it's Psalm 15:4, talking about keeping a vow or keeping your word to your own hurt. Sometimes, you know, we might wish we hadn't have said something. Verse 34, "When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, 'Bless me, even me also, O my father.' And he said, 'Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing.' And he said, 'Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing.'" Of course, you know, Esau had a little bit to do with that that bowl of soup. But nonetheless, here it is again, the deceiver, Jacob. And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" Isaac answered and said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" Now remember, this is his favorite. Notwithstanding that, he has spoken. He has given his word. He's given his blessing. "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Now again, here we see things that are similar to what was said to Jacob. Verse 39, Isaac his father answered and said unto him, "Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of the heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob." Hatred. Again, thinking back to the series in 1 John about evidence and test. Do we truly know and love the Lord? Do we love the Lord? Do we love his word? Do we love his people? These things are brought out in 1 John. To love the brethren, that's evidence of being a child of God. And so here's his physical brother. And he says he hates him. And so he has a plan of his own to slay his brother. We think of Cain and Abel and that bad history already early in Genesis. And so now we pick up and see in verse 42, "In these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touches thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran." And that's going to be another story. When we get back to Laban, remember Laban was a part of the story there when that unnamed servant went to find a bride for Isaac, and there was Uncle Laban. And so, then in verse 44, "And tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away." A few days will last a lot longer. And so we see, "until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which hath been done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day?" She's already having regret. We see now the concern that this one, Rebekah, will have. And you know, you think back at, I believe at the end of chapter 26, it talks there about when Esau got married at 40 years old, and how that marrying one is a Hittite. And the end of 26, verse 35 says, "Which were a grief or a bitterness of spirit, a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah." So now things are piling up. Things that are regrettable are going on now with her children. "Oh, I don't want to lose Jacob. I don't need him to be murdered. You must go away for a time." And so we begin to see the reaping and sowing. And this principle, as we see in Galatians chapter 6, about reaping and sowing. And yet, if we know the end of the story, we see how God's going to work in this man's life of Jacob. And so, verse 46, "And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heath. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heath, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me?" She's already concerned about who Esau married. Now she's concerned about what's going to happen to Jacob. And the Lord willing, the next time that we continue in Genesis with the life of Jacob, we'll see the very important text of chapter 28. Jacob will begin moving and sojourning. Jacob will eventually find a wife. But yet, as we look to close for today, may we ask ourselves, where are we in this life's journey before the Lord? If we know Christ is our Savior, then we know we have an eternal inheritance and blessing before us. We know that we have a blessing and an inheritance now. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are seated in the heavenlies. We have these wonderful positional truths afforded to us even now. But if there's someone among us today that knows not the Lord Jesus, turn to Him. Receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, it's a long, hard road without Christ, and then eternity without Him, separated from Him. But to know Him is life eternal. We can learn as believers from a man like Jacob. We can look back at where he was, and we can be reminded of ourselves. And then we can look forward and see the things that he will learn as we learn in our Christian pilgrimage. And yet we can look to the end and see where Jacob ended up. And we can say, this is what we have in Christ. Blessings in him. Eternal life in him. Do you know the Lord Jesus today? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. And I'd ask if one of the brothers would close us in prayer.